Welcome in, friends. This is Leading Off. I am Chris Welsh, and joining me today is the wonkiest of the penguins. It's the wonky penguin on Twitter, Kelly Kirby, making her debut. Kelly, how are you?
I am doing quite well. How are you?
I apologize that, like, all the years that you've been watching, it's like, oh, there's Joe and there's Dan Harris and everybody. And then your first one, it's with the Welsh. But I am very happy to be doing the first show with you. And, maybe the most ridiculous day of the entire baseball season for you to come on as far as news goes, because we've got the MLB trade deadline, which built up, whimpered down just a tiny bit. We had the return of the greatest pitcher in the land, and things have not changed. There's no more run support. But who would have thought that all of that could be overshadowed by really, really sad news last night of the passing of absolute icon, baseball icon, Vin Scully, Kelly. And I know, I think you even tweeted out a tribute or two about just your experience. 94 years old, 67 years between the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers. Absolutely just, it's not shocking because of the age, but just the scope of what was going on yesterday that we ended that day of baseball with the passing of an icon.
That's true. I'm here representing the Central Time Zone, and for many, many years, I would stay up as long as I could to watch a Dodgers game when he was calling it, because he just was perfect. He had a perfect voice. He, more than any other broadcaster ever, was able to use silence so masterfully. Like, he would call what happened, and then he would just kind of let you listen to it. And he was just brilliant. So I really appreciated him.
Yeah, you know, I started to pose the question, though it's not really necessary, but it's like, you know, this was the baseball's version of, like, John Madden and losing John Madden mm-hmm. in football. And, you know, you could ask, like, which one is more iconic, and maybe John Madden in, like, you know, they both just, you know, had a grand scope of mm-hmm. outside of the game, Madden to the video games and stuff like that. But, okay. I mean, the icon of icons. I pulled up this. I thought this would be interesting. It is 10 amazing facts about Vin Scully's career. I would just burn through real quick for everybody, kind of in celebration of him. This article is a little bit old, but these aren't really going to change. So here are 10 facts for you about Vin Scully's career. Did you know he was the youngest to ever broadcast a World Series game? Kelly, imagine this. 22 years old. Can you imagine 22 years old playing play in 1955? At 22 years old, there's no chance I was doing any of this stuff.
Not at all. At 22, no. That would have been impossible.
Number nine, he got a salute from the umpires before every single game. I thought it was an interesting one. He got his big break broadcasting a college football game. It was a Maryland football game, which actually is going to come up, I believe, in a trivia question I have. I almost gave it away by giving you a little bit more. He's called 19 no-hitters. 19 no-hitters. The first one was Boston Braves pitcher Vern Bickford. And the last one, how perfect, Clayton Kershaw, 2014. Yep. Very interesting. The last couple, this is just like a random one. They said he can make a grocery list sound amazing, where I think they have a video of him reading off something like that. He was once a 70s daytime star. He hosted a variety. I did not know this daytime variety show called The Vin Scully Show on CBS, which had skits, celebrity interviews, stand-up comedy, and even singing. If only Vin Scully was singing on there, that would have been great. He could have been the original voice of Monday Night Football, because apparently in 1970, ABC, the executives wanted to give the job to Scully, but they ended up going in a different direction, and I think he passed on it as well. He once played college baseball against a former president. That would be President George H.W. Bush. He was a center fielder in Fordham back in 1947. I think this is the famous one I saw, and actually, I'm going to tell you the other one real quick. His favorite player was actually a Giant in Willie Mays. And then the one I saw going around Twitter yesterday, Kelly, was that he had once raced Jackie Robinson on ice skates.
Sure. It all sounds like Vin Scully type things. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Probably a lot of memories out there for a lot of people in experience mm-hmm. over time of getting to hear, you know, your childhood grew up with, you know, Vin Scully. And I mean, there's only so many iconic you know, personalities in baseball that are doing commentary. We don't have it the same way, but very sad. You know, don't need to keep going through it, but 94 years old, Vin Scully taking kind of over the top of the news because it's a big deal. But we did have the return of Jacob DeGrom, who was right back in form, Kelly, went five innings, allowed three hits, one earned run, struck out six, did not hit the prop. Someone pointed out I was all over the Welsh game, or the Mets game, the Welsh was, and I was, and boy, did that look like old school Mets, Kelly. It's blowing my mind. No run support. He got pulled early, but he was hitting 102. Your thoughts on the return of Jacob DeGrom?
I mean, I think he looked good, and I was actually almost, bolstered by the idea that it was kind of a normal outing. Like, it wasn't, you know, 14 strikeouts and five innings. And so it kind of looked like, yep, he was back. And then to watch the bullpen kind of just, you know, like you said, I'm like, here comes classic DeGrom. Like, the Mets played right into it for him.
Yeah, I was super disappointed too, because I mean, you guys know I was aggressive on really anything with them yesterday. They had a B squad out there that was embarrassing. The minute DeGrom got out, they got lit up for whatever reason. And you expect maybe to hold back a little bit, but that they went 59 pitches on DeGrom. That was super disappointing. But, you know, I'll go down with the ship on that one every day. He looked phenomenal. If for anyone watching, fastball sitting around, you know, anywhere from 102 to 99. His slider looked phenomenal. He had a pinpoint strikeout, just whether he was putting it on the corners or below, and he looked great. He just looked right back into form, which I think is the really big plus here. Something to monitor will be, when are they going to unleash DeGrom? And it's probably going to be a few starts here, but DeGrom right back into form, and it was a huge bright point to yesterday. Now the trades, I don't even know how we begin with this because there were a litany of them. We talked, luckily we were able to talk about Juan Soto's trade yesterday on the show because I think it happened like 10 minutes before we went live. We definitely were missing some big moves. Let me start with that. Who was the biggest surprise in your mind that didn't get moved? We had no Pablo Lopez. We had no Carlos Rodon. We had no Ian Happ, no Wilson Contreras, and no JD Martinez. Probably the biggest five that did not get moved. Which one kind of held you back the most, did you think was going to get traded that didn't?
Well, I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm going to just say that the two of them, I sat on the Fantasy Pros news desk and I just kept refreshing Twitter and just waiting for it. And it got to be about like 4:30 p.m. my time. And I was at a different job and I'm just sitting there going, we're going to trade them, right? Like, I mean, it just kind of, when it didn't happen, I thought, okay, so what are we doing? What's the plan here? So yeah, that was the one that was just totally surprising to me.
We were doing a live stream on our twitch.tv/inthisleague, and we ran a poll like after the first hour. It was like, all right, who's the next big guy to get traded? And the poll was like unanimous, Wilson Contreras. Everyone was like, oh yeah, Wilson Contreras totally getting traded. That was the biggest shock to me, because that's a guy that's on 2 months and he's a free agent. But I think what it ultimately came down to was the compensation they can get if he signs elsewhere and get a pick versus what teams were willing to give up, which I'm still surprised no one stepped up. The Mets, obviously, they said the ask was high, and the Mets didn't really do anything. We did have a couple big moves. I think we had a lot of, like, fine moves, but a couple big ones. This one came after the trade deadline had passed, but obviously it came in before. Whit Merrifield going to the Blue Jays in a pretty nothing trade. Max Castillo, Shamad Taylor. Shamad Taylor had a decent minor league season, but Whit Merrifield goes from the Royals. The obvious insanity of all of it is, okay, he's not vaccinated in Toronto and whatever that's going to be. Besides all that, not that point nonsense. Him going into that lineup, though, is a huge boost. And we ran a poll as well, like, who was the biggest trade impact, but all of them. And I think Whit came in number two because we were also including, you know, days before. If Whit's hitting two and you've got him sandwiched between George Springer and some version of Vladimir Guerrero, Alejandro Kirk and all that, the run opportunities are huge. They love to run. He's going to continue to do that. How big of a boost do you think Whit Merrifield going to Toronto, assuming he plays all the games, is, Kelly?
Well, I mean, I think for both fantasy and real life, it's a huge boost. Springer's like dealing with the elbow injury again, so he'll probably kind of take his place for a little bit. But the amount of running that they do, and also I think Merrifield getting motivated is kind of a big deal as well. Like, I feel like he plays a little bit harder when he is motivated. But being able to just kind of stand on base and then trot around when Vladdy or Kirk homers you in, his counting stats are going to go up. It really should be. That was actually the biggest one from a fantasy impact that I think he's the one that'll have the biggest change.
Yeah, from yesterday, I think that is true. From the totality, you know what actually ran away with it on our polling was Trey Mancini. Trey Mancini actually ran away of everybody's. And I think you actually put it in the chat yesterday of the implied homers that he would have had in Houston. You know, it's a big one with Merrifield, especially if that team gets going again. Toronto, I don't think, made the big impactful moves. I think they kind of swung and missed figuratively in the trade market of, you know, some guys that they wanted to get. But this does bolster their offense. Another big one, Tyler Molly goes to the Minnesota Twins. They needed some help, especially if you're going to be at the top end of this division. They got, I think, their closer in Jorge Lopez, which I really like that trade. Molly was a good one. They traded Spencer Steer, Christian Encarnacion Strand, and Steven Ajar. I have been saying, watch Spencer Steer, because I think he's a sneaky add as someone the Reds could bring up now. He's hit 20 homers, struggled a little tiny bit in AAA, but 24 years old in AAA, 20 bombs, had made a lot of early season contact. And right now, like, Donovan Solano is at third base. So I think they can move Kyle Farmer over to third. Steer could finish out the year as a shortstop to really see what they have with him. He could have some fantasy impact. But Molly to the Twins is such a huge, huge boost that you now, just like Luis Castillo, you have run support. You have a better defense. You have really everything is better there. So I would say probably from a pitching standpoint, that's got to be one of the top ones, at least on trade deadline day, is improving.
I think anytime you take anyone out of Great American Ballpark from a pitching standpoint, they have to get an automatic boost. And Minnesota's ballpark can play both ways depending on what's going on. But for the most part, it plays like a pitcher's park. And for the Twins, you know, I live in Minnesota, and every year when the regular season's done and the Yankees sit in the playoffs, I mean, we just kind of, we're like, well, good season. Let's not even bother. So it's nice to have at least one pitcher that we can, you know, kind of be like, yeah, let's do that before we start, you know, praying for Dylan Bundy to
just like
good Dylan Bundy.
Everyone's so, shaking hands like, good job. We did all right.
Literally, like, yeah. I was like, well, good try. Good season.
So next year. We'll get them next year.
Yep.
There were some other, I'm going to rattle off some of the hitting ones and you tell me which one you like the most. Harrison Bader went to the Yankees. Brandon Drury leaves the Reds in a full-time role to a presumed full-time role, but it could be a little platoony with the Padres. Joey Gallo goes to the Dodgers. You had Eric Hosmer was kind of the big shocker. Eric Hosmer turned down going to the Nationals yesterday, and that did not impede anything. He ended up getting moved in a Red Sox trade. So between Eric Hosmer, Joey Gallo, Brandon Drury, Harrison Bader, which move did you like the most from a fantasy perspective?
Well, I know that Mayer's most excited about Hosmer. He made that quite clear on Twitter. But I would say the one that makes me actually the most excited, weirdly, is Gallo to the Dodgers.
Really?
I feel like he can't get worse, and I feel like New York was crushing him.
Oh, and you know what? Let me tell you something about Joey Gallo. You test him. Can he get worse?
I know.
Can he get worse? You test him.
I know. But, you know, it's like that interview that he gave just really, like, I thought, yeah, let's just get him out of here. And the Dodgers certainly can use, you know, I mean, if just don't put him and Bellinger back to back. I think that would be a frightening little Muncy run.
Here's what I'm voting for the year. It is tune in baseball. If you get Muncy, Gallo, and Bellinger back to back, please do that. And I am here for it. I will live stream that if I can get those three. It might be the most exciting thing you could have in the entire baseball season. That you could have an immaculate inning. That you should tune in for an immaculate inning. That is, I don't get the trade. I hated it, to be honest with you. It's a good thing, I guess, for Gallo. I just didn't understand it overall. Like the Brandon Drury one, it's probably not a big fantasy boost, but I think it's one of, I guess if you look at from a boost perspective, Gallo's actually probably is the best because he's got probably a better opportunity for some playing time there, where Drury didn't really help himself, but I still feel like he is the best asset across all those hitters.
Yeah. And he's just kind of the reverse Molly to me, where I'm like, you're taking him out of that ballpark. And I think I'm not sure what his splits were. I looked them up, but at home he was like a perennial home run call for me, especially if a lefty was on the mound. But on the road, I was kind of like, I don't know. And also, you know, with the Padres, but now they can really go right, left, right, left, right. I mean, right down the road. Yeah. So
yeah, you if play he can 30, get playing play time versus every single lefty, like he's the must against the
all day long.
100%. Yep. On the pitchers, just kind of cleaning it up here. David Robertson went to the Phillies, which that looks like that could be a closer situation. Raisel Iglesias, for anybody that paid really high on him, goes to the Braves, which is a little dicey because, you know, Kenley Jansen's not healthy, but when he's healthy, you assume he has the gig. So he's a little bit of a big question mark. Anthony Bass was in another trade between Robertson. Here's a question. Who's more valuable the rest of the season, David Robertson or Raisel Iglesias?
I mean, in fantasy, I think because Robertson is probably going to step into the closer role. And I think someone I saw on Twitter said that Jansen was going to retain the closer role in Atlanta. So Robertson, but I feel like Phillies closers have some sort of weird curse sometimes, all the way back to like Mitch Williams. So I would go with Robertson in a saves holds league. I would way rather have Iglesias.
Oh, 100%. Well, because he doesn't really lose any value. If anything, he goes to a better opportunity. A save hold league, you could argue Raisel Iglesias improved exponentially his value leaving the Angels and going to a team like Atlanta. I could completely agree with that. But that's what's so funny about this is like David Robertson goes into like a clear role. This is a funny thing. I just thinking about Full Metal had put in Gallo and Bellinger could be the downfall of the Dodgers. Think about this. Yesterday, within the last 48 hours, the Padres traded for Josh Hader, Juan Soto, and Josh Bell, and the Dodgers brought in Joey Gallo. Cody Bellinger, too. I could say the same thing. They're the same player. So really interesting perspective. If the Padres don't win, it's going to be embarrassing. On the injury front, there's a whole bunch. Tarik Skubal ended up landing on the IL after that left arm fatigue that we were given. Probably going to play him really easy the rest of the year. Justin Turner going on the 10-day IL, retroactive to July 30th. John Gray was placed on the 15-dayer with an oblique injury. You talked about it. Kelly talked about it. George Springer was out again last night. Hasn't played since Saturday. Always nagging injuries. Aviso Garcia's got a hamstring. Byron Buxton did not play day-to-day with knee issues out of Monday and Tuesday, and David Bednar did not get a save opportunity, which had everybody freaking out for, like, you know, 20 minutes on Twitter, but he was dealing with some back issues. So, Kelly, do you have a Byron Buxton comment you need to get off your chest? Do you need to get out Byron Buxton? You can't do it in the chat. You can't razz me about Byron Buxton. So you need to get something off your chest?
Well, yeah, I mean, the trade deadline in one of my more intense leagues was over on the weekend, and I benefited from a Buxton for a Rosarena trade because a couple picks came with it. But the whole time as I received Buxton, I thought, oh no, like it's just I feel so bad for him, but I also can't stop making jokes.
I acquired him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So now you're on the train. Okay. So breaking news, the Wonky Penguin officially team Byron Buxton. Just want everyone to know. So anytime he does anything, make sure to tweet the Wonky Penguin to let Kelly know here.
And other breaking news, now that he's on my team, he won't play the rest of the season. So
He'll be day to day in perpetuity. He'll never get
done. Yeah.
Here's a fun fact that you actually put on the sheet here. Juan Soto has a career OPS of 160. Only four players have had a higher OPS through their age 23 season. It's almost a trivia thing. I'm not going to do it because we have another good piece of trivia. Ted Williams, Ty Cobb, Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols. That is quite a group to be added to. And just remind you, we talk about the impact and the biggest trade that we've ever seen. We've never seen a guy at this age with this type of success in their career be traded like this, which makes it so unique. And the path that he's going on, younger than probably, I think usually you see the number like half of the guys that were just drafted in the MLB draft. I mean, he's still in that range. You know, that thing, that game you play, I always played this where it's like, you know, oh, I'm just young enough. You know, I'm still young enough. Like you're 30. It's like, oh, I can still play or something like that. Like Juan Soto is going to be in that forever where it's like he's still in the same class of guys in the minor league. So that's a very, very interesting one. Here is a trivia question, and Kelly gets to see it. You guys don't. So I talked to you guys about the fun facts of Vin Scully, and this one popped up here. Vin Scully's first professional radio assignment, as I mentioned, was a college football game. Played at which major league ballpark? So it was Maryland versus Boston University in 1949. Any guesses at which major league ballpark the college football game he announced was. I thought this was a really, really fun, interesting one. Anybody in the chat wants to drop that in, we can go and we can give you credit if you can get this, because there's no chance I would have got that. Bizarrizagizza, actually, Yankee Stadium is incorrect. There's probably only so many that you guys can guess. we'll go through some stat heroes. Kevin Gausman, 8 innings, 1 hit, 10 strikeouts. Mwah. Kevin Gausman, even more, double. Mwah, mwah. Spencer Strider, 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 13 strikeouts. Kelly, I have been a Spencer Strider guy for quite some time. I've talked on here about how I got a tongue lashing on the dumb Twitter about me asking, even asking the question, by the way, Spencer Strider or Aaron Ashby, and just all the people losing their minds about it. Usually when you do something wrong, everyone lets you know. Wonky, thank you very much yesterday reminding me about Franmil Reyes. Nobody likes to tell you when you do things right. I am starting to get a couple more trickling in about how I've been on Spencer Strider. Is Spencer Strider moving into an elite territory for you? Or do you think even, you know, this is like a dynasty versus redraft question. I know there's a question on this year versus maybe innings that are going to come down. But do you think he is an elite option this year, and how elite in a longer dynasty format?
I love him. So you actually kind of talked me into him in a couple of different leagues, mostly redraft. Yeah, I know you're my hero now, but yeah, I hesitate to call him elite just because I've elite seen him word. Do elite some weird word. Stuff. Yeah. But at that K9 rate, yeah, I mean, I think, what do you think, top 25 pitcher?
Oh, yeah. And my redraft, okay. My redraft ranks, I'm updating this Friday, I think they'll be released. And I moved him up another bump. I actually traded for him. I gave up one of the bigger hauls that I've given up in quite some time in a dynasty league the other day, where I gave up a couple big prospects and a first round pick. I gave up Josh Young. I know it's gonna be crazy for people, Josh Young and James Wood and a first rounder in a 16 teamer. But I believe in him, and I needed some more starting pitching, and I feel really good about, as you know, just acquiring him yesterday. He has got, this is what I want to look at. He's still not under the qualifications, which is super annoying here, but under K per nine on the season, if you open it up a little bit, he is the number one K per nine in all of baseball with 80 or more innings, with a 13.76 K per nine above Shohei Ohtani, above Dylan Cease, above Christian Javier, and above Shane McClanahan. That's the territory. Yeah, it's top 20. It's top 20 right now. The worry you have is that he's going to be limited on his innings at this point. And like you said, it's a little, no pun intended, wonky as well in games where it's like, you know, command can go all over the board. That's why I've been comping him to like Shane McClanahan light. Like, it reminds me of the same thing. McClanahan had some command issues early on and really got it. Graham Ashcraft, 8 1/3, 3 strikeouts. Corey Abbott, 5 innings, 3 strikeouts. On the hitter front, Jorge Mateo had 2 bombs with 5 homers. All of the late rounders are cheering. Ha-Sung Kim, looking like he's going to become a utility player, goes 4 for 5. Marcell Ozuna, Trent Grisham, both had a couple bombs. Mookie Betts, homer, going 3 for 5. Carson Kelly had a homer. Gershon Profar was 5 for 6 with 2 RBIs. Eloy, perfect 3 for 3. Jake Cronenworth, 1 homer, 2 RBI. If we're going back to the question, Daryl. That's right. It was in Boston, Fenway Park, 1949, Maryland versus Boston University. Vin Scully's first ever professional radio assignment, and it wasn't baseball, but it was at Fenway. So good job for Daryl hitting that.
Wasn't it also super cold that day? Like I think they put him up on he was outdoors, like just sitting kind of on the side, and he's from what I remember, he just said it was like ridiculously cold, ridiculously windy.
Boston.
Yeah.
Here's a weird stereotype. Like when I think of 1949, it's always cold in my mind. It doesn't matter where in the country, it's just cold. Like if someone says, hey, that day in 1949, doesn't matter the country, the state, the city, it's cold to me. It's super cold. People are wearing jackets. There's you know, just a oppressive lifestyle. I just, you know, maybe prohibition is still coming. I don't know. I just, anything like post 60s, I'm like, it's super cold there. So yeah, I would think it's unbearable. On stat zeros, Corey Knebel, 5 earned runs, couldn't get out of a full inning. Brad Keller, actually, there was a trade rumor going on. He didn't, and he gave up 8 earned runs, 5 2/3. Alex Wood got lit up, 6 earned. Spencer Howard, there's a Spencer Howard. What I bet him against last week, he was the next Spencer Strider, and then he finally got lit up. He gave up 6 earned runs in 4 innings. That strikeout prop, he was the number one on Betting Pros, did not work out. Logan Gilbert got lit up a little bit, 6 earned. Jameson Taillon, 5 earned runs, though he did hit the strikeout marker, I believe. I think it was 5.5 or 4.5 yesterday, and he got 6, even though he got beat up a little bit. On the hitter front, Charlie Blackmon, 0-for-5 with 3 Ks. India had 3. Solano, who I just mentioned why you should look at Spencer Steer, had 4 strikeouts yesterday, going 0-for-5. That's beautiful. Melendez, Nelson Cruz, Alec Bohm, Candelario, JD Martinez, and Andrew Benintendi, all 3 strikeout games, which is no bueno. No bueno. Guys, we have an updated home run leaderboard. Wonky, who'd you have yesterday?
I had Rowdy Tellez yesterday.
No Rowdy? I didn't get mine.
Oh, no, he got one.
Oh, you did get one? Ah, see, what a beautiful thing we have you on. I wish we could get you on the board, but look at this race right here. D-Blum and Knight King North are coming for High Cubby. High Cubby has been, you can tell me, Kelly, I don't recall. I don't think High Cubby's had a homer in quite some time. But maybe I'm wrong about that because maybe they jumped up. But D-Blum and Knight King are right on the tail. Mike Mayer at 35. My boy Del Gadillo down there at 33. And yesterday, 15 correct calls last night. On the top board, D-Blum had Mookie, Knight King had Paul Goldschmidt, Mike Mayer had Mookie, and then a whole bunch of other Goldschmidts actually got everybody else on the board. And that is quite the market. Do you know where you're at, Kelly?
I am one above you, which makes me sad. I'm not sure. I got 2 in the first week, and then I think I took all of May off. Everyone ran away, and I was kind of just still sitting there thinking, should I just start calling Judge? It got ugly for a while.
So. I think the same thing. I like you said that. You're like, yeah, I'm one against you. It makes me sad. But I kind of had the same thing. Like, you know, for the first 3 months or 2 months I was on here, I was only on here 3 days a week, and I wasn't really calling them on the other ones. But, you know, it hasn't necessarily been my thing. But you guys are running away with it and doing fantastic. But I would still point out, Aaron Judge in real life baseball has more home run calls than us who have been calling it Monday through Friday, who can get 3 homers in a day, and Aaron Judge is still beating us all. Friends, want to remind you guys to go and check out our sponsor, BetMGM. Go and check them out today. Use the promo code LEADINGOFF, whether it's on the app or on the website. When you do, you are going to get a $1,000 risk-free first bet. You can go put it on an awesome prop. You can do whatever you want with it, a game call. Use promo code LEADINGOFF over at BetMGM, and that's why we come over here and we give you some bets. Maybe you could do. Checking it out, I've got your top total base and your top strikeout prop for the bettingpros.com prop cheat sheet if you want to check it out. And I apologize, Donnie, I still have not got the crown. It's actually my kid's first day at school. It's the perfect day to have gotten it because my daughter can't be mad that I grabbed the tiara. I apologize, Kelly. I know you said it was a must. I completely forgot. Everybody's on me about the tiara. I'm so sorry. I had to take my kids to school so early this morning. I will bring it out next show that I'm on with Wonky. I promise you I will have the tiara. But Wonky, we've got the top 2 total. This is the top total base and top strikeout option for Betting Pros prop cheat sheet. The number one strikeout option, Jalen Beeks on DraftKings at 1.5, I think, is the over. That's all they have. Yeah, and there's a projected 4 to 5, I think. So it's a great marker. And Kyle Schwarber, the total base king here, it is at 1/2, but it's -155. That's actually the best juice that you can find. Either one of those you're into, Beeks on the strikeout or Kyle Schwarber at just 1 total base today?
So Beeks is just going to be an opener. Yarbrough's coming in, I think, inning 2 or 3. So the 1.5 is, you know, it looks good, though, up against Toronto. I think that he can get that. But, yeah, Schwarber over, no problem.
And that's where the projection is. And I will tell you guys today, total bases are wild. They're in the top 30 projected on the prop sheet. There was not one that I saw that was plus money. or maybe there was only one. It's a crazy market today. So I'm being careful. The one I did find I thought was the best in my mind was Rafael Devers, which is at minus 105. So almost even money up against the Astros. You've got a right-hander for Rafael Devers. This is his money spot, hitting 333 against righties. So I love Rafael Devers at almost even money over on FanDuel. And the other one, you know, fool me once, but Freddy Peralta, I know he's returning. His strikeout number is at 6.5, but it's plus 126 against Pittsburgh. So I can't help myself on that one. I do worry about the how late he can go into games, but I feel like he'll go a little bit further than Jacob DeGrom. Real quick DFS stuff. I just want to point out some of the big dogs. Alcantara on FanDuel, 11.2 today. Peralta's 10.5, maybe a good play. Matchup-wise is Joe Ryan at 8.4. And implied run totals, if you want to stack some players, guys over 5, Cleveland, Mets, and San Diego. Mets, the highest implied run total today. And I know it didn't work out yesterday, but I'm going to go right back to it because, like I said, I can't help myself. And Kelly, I'm going with Pete Alonso on the home run call today. I almost went I went back to the Marte total bases yesterday. I ended up not doing it, but I am going Pete Alonso on my home run call today. I cannot help myself. And if it happens again and the Mets are going to met me, I don't know what to do. Where are you going?
Look, I try to find people who are interesting. I try to find people that are kind of not chalky, but I can't see Juan Soto not homering off of Cool Chad in San Diego. Like if he plays, I think he's going yard at least once. So, yeah, because they have to pitch to him now. What an amazing turn of events for him.
Lineup protection is it's quite a thing. It's absolutely quite a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know who Mayer has. Do you know who Mayer's call is? He's not putting it on the sheet anymore. So.
Oh, I saw it, but I don't remember.
Okay, it's not important. We don't
who
need
cares?
To talk about
Mayer. I mean, it's just Mayer. Whatever.
It's just Mayer. No big deal. Kelly, you're off the hot seat. You did it. You did awesome. Nice. The Wonky Penguin on Twitter. What stuff do you have going on over at Fantasy Pros that people should check out?
First of all, shout out to Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. You are my people. I love you. And also hi, mom and dad, because I think they're in the chat ready to defend me. And I'm like, they're friends. It's fine. over on Fantasy Pros. I'm like, mom, you're not going to have to fight anyone. But anyway, on Fantasy Pros right now, I wrote a streamers article last weekend, but I would really like if you just ignore it because I had Brad Keller in last night. But tonight I have Brady Singer and I'm a little obsessed with him. Otherwise, yeah, you know, we've just got a ton of the amount of content that comes out every day on Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros is amazing. So I get to kind of have my hands in it and it's awesome.
And I want to give a hat tip to you. I've said it to you off air. You know, I know it's been a transition and everybody's dealing with it a little bit. I got to say it's actually pretty good. I've got no real negativity and I think a lot of people have hung out, but I know it's difficult for everybody to go from like Joe all of last year, hosting all of this year, and then you're kind of thrown in with me. And I know that can be jarring for a lot of people, but for the most part, I think I've seen all good stuff, everybody hanging out, and I'm super happy about that, that hopefully I'm making the transition easier and still fun and not as weird. And Kelly's a big part of that. She has been a huge, huge help to putting together the show sheets on the back end, which I was not expecting. And I was a pleasant surprise on Monday, and it's been a pleasant surprise the whole way through. So I just want to publicly thank you for the great job that you do on the back end of putting some of this stuff together. So thank you very much. And friends, that is it. You're going to get to see more of Kelly in the near future here. The Wonky Penguin, the Welsh, it is leading off. Oh my God, a lot of news. Maybe tomorrow will be a little bit cooler. Oh, guess who's on the podcast tomorrow? Nick Pollock, Pitcher List. Guys, tune in. Nice. Leading off. We're out of here. Bye-bye. See ya.